So yeah, today we're going to be talking about speaking
Wow.
events again. Last week we talked about how to get them. This week we're going to actually talk about what to say, how to structure a speaking event. And at some point I'm going to stop and ask you to do some writing to get what I consider to begin to craft what I consider the signature piece of your talk. All right, so we will do a little work today on that. So Miriam, how did you like the, but first I just want to get some feedback on the thing, on the event this past Sunday, the emergence. How did you like it?
I liked it very much. It was a really nice group of people. So
and I got your message. I'll hook you up with Laura.
Thank you. Getting in terms of how my sort of relationship with this whole idea of educational marketing. It's shifting a little bit. I still like speaking events seem like not quite the thing. So I'm interested in hearing more about it and sort of thinking about it, but the idea that came from that and from what some people said to me on Sunday about doing monologue coaching for actors, young actors who are trying to get into the performing arts high schools, that feels like that feels like it's something right in my wheelhouse. It feels like it's not a whole different job as trying to get directing. It feels like it's a related job. So if
yes.
That's feeling like it's got some juice in it for me, the way, which feels different from this other, from my emotional reaction to the idea, to the words educational marketing and speaking events. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
So that felt really good. I felt like there is a way in for me to this idea of educational marketing. And that, you know, maybe there's more doors that that I can get comfortable with.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, and I realize this model, and I'm trying to shift it so that it is more amenable towards you know, artists and creative people, because it is a business model in terms of working for service industries, more people who have clients. And of course, if you're coaching monologues, that's a good fit there. If you're doing organization for people, that's good fit there, you know. But I do believe that it can also be a way to put yourself in front of and get exposure, you know, for yourself in front of people who could hire you, you know. There's going to be a lot of what I speak today, what I teach today, that, you know, you can use some and throw the rest out, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's all useful. I think a lot, it's really, it's meant to be tailored to whatever your particular target is, you know?
Right.
Without further ado, let's get into this. Now, this was adapted from my coach's class on conducting what she called a cash injection through speaking events, or a mega offer. We will not use the word ask, but rather making a mega offer or a large offer. We try to do a certain number of offers a week. You know, whether a conversation with a joint venture partner or a possible client. For you, it might be reaching out through your network to the parents of kids who are preparing to audition for high school, you know, that's to make an offer. And it might be possible to get some assemblies at some public schools to go in and talk to kids who are planning on applying to performance art high school. So this sort of speaking outline, I think, Miriam, could be very useful to you, and I know for Caddy, definitely. So let's go ahead, and we're just going to go through this. All right. Before you even do an event, and of course, as a theater professional, this goes without saying. It probably goes without saying for both of you, but for some of the other folks who are going to listen to this, who are my private clients, there are certain things you want to do. You want to, you know, preparation is key. I'm going to go through the intro, the offer, the transition, the conclusion of a talk, but it's a good idea when you're starting out to memorize those key components and practice them several times before you do a talk. More important than that to me is knowing the outline, frankly, because if you're too memorized, it sounds stilted, you know. I mean, you want to, it's not a monologue, right? It is basically it is a conversation, in a sense. Even a monologue is a conversation. But, memorizing certain aspects, I think, can ground you when you're not used to getting up and speaking in front of people. Notes are a good idea, not perfect notes, right? I use index cards. This is important to me. If you're going to do a talk, have a friend or an assistant there, because, like I had Richard there this Sunday, there are things I just don't want to have to deal with, right? I just want to be focused on the content and connection with people, right? And obviously, check the room, check the equipment if you are going to be speaking from a mic, et cetera, right? So let's go on down to more interesting elements here. Pardon me, on the wrong. I'm trying to scroll, and it's not quite letting me. Conducting the event proper. All right, to start the event, some people hide away, you know. It's interesting. I find it's better to greet everybody as they're walking in and connect with people before you even speak, right? It does depend. If it's going to be a really big event, for instance, I find I need to hole up. I don't want to do that. But if it's a small event, right, it's not a bad idea to greet people and be there among them. Obviously, on Sunday, that's what I did. It was a small group. I have people sign in when you get there, if possible, and get whatever you can, right? Snail mail, email, opt in for the newsletter. You know, they can check whether they want to let you add them to that. Initial session, I'm going to delete that because that's jumping the gun here. Whether or not they want an initial session, you'll find out later. One thing you want to do is fill in the first line of fake information just to get them going, right? No, nobody wants to be the first one to put their name down. So, we have another, I'm going to be speaking in terms of an hour-long talk. Bits and pieces of this might be extracted, or you may shorten things, like if you're just speaking for 20 minutes, for instance, but just based on an hour-long talk. All right, that's what I'm going to be going through here. Your introduction, all right? So there are five parts to an introduction, okay? Obviously, you're going to get their attention, and a way to do that is what Monica calls a whiplash moment, which can be a statistic, a quote, an activity. My favorite is a question. I'll often ask a question, like one that I use is, how many people here are good at meeting deadlines, right? And then I'll qualify it. How many of people are here are good at meeting deadlines that are set by other people? And often a lot more hands go up, right? And so that helps me get to the point, right? And I can get into my story. So I talked a little bit about why I'm doing what I'm doing until I jump into the actual topic. The opening moment gets them wondering, all right? So I will talk about where I started. I talk about where I am today, the realization I'm having, and why they should listen to or why you feel what you're about to say is important, okay? And generally your story, your intro story or signature story will follow one of two of these forms, and one of either, it's either going to be a soapbox story, right, or a struggle story, all right? And the elements of these, and in a minute we're going to work on that, elements of your story, where you started, the problem issue or struggle you went through or discovery that you made, a turning point moment, what you realized or how you resolved it, how you help others, or how it changed the way you operate today. And do note that, you know, it doesn't have to be painstakingly chronological. The more interesting stories are not, in my opinion. Okay? So, I want to work on that right now. Because, frankly, that to me is the most endearing and important element of giving a talk, since so much depends on trust. People don't hand over their credit cards if they don't trust you. And humanizing yourself, letting them know where you're coming from is a good way in, all right? So first, as I mentioned, get yourselves ready to do some writing here. Your story is either going to be a soapbox or a point of view type story or a struggle. And the thing is that you have to stand for something, right? There's a quote, I don't know who said this, but the quote is, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. So you need to show what you stand for, okay? And first I'd like to work on, take a shot at a struggle story today, all right? And I'm going to give you some points, some writing prompts to play off of. And I'm also getting my timer ready here. Good. So first of all, when you're doing when you want to prepare for a struggle story, obviously, you want to think of what comes to mind. So does a struggle, and it could be about anything or any area of your life. It's interesting. For the purposes of this exercise, let it be anything. For either of you, does a struggle come up? A struggle story come up for either of you? It's a point, a struggle story needs to include a point where you hit rock bottom, basically. Where something went really south, and you climbed up out of it.
Yes.
Okay, good. Yes. Kathy, I know you do. What about you, Miriam? You got something?
When I organize my own office for my photos.
I'm not asking what it is yet, Kathy. I'm not asking. Oh. I was asking Miriam if she had a struggle
story. Oh,
sorry. That's okay.
A lot of sort of broad, vague things are coming to mind, but nothing really.
How about a time when you really bombed at an audition?
Okay, something is coming up to mind.
Okay, good. So now just grab that situation. And first, you want to write a little about how could you describe it so that an audience would resonate and you can see yourself in the moment of that situation? Just set the scene, okay? Let's do a little, set the scene for me of the struggle. And I'm going to give you just, you know, about a couple of minutes to write about this, all right? And you're going to return to it as if you want, if it seems like something that's got some legs. All right, but for right now, just set the scene of this particular story, starting now. And I'm going to mute everybody. got about 30 more seconds. Okay, great. Now, I'd like you to think about that story and the scene that you've set and write about the turning point moment when you hit rock bottom, all right? Starting now. Got about 30 more seconds. Okay, great. Now, we're going to do a little writing that'll start to structure the story, and you can refine it later. So I'm going to give on each of these points a little less time. So just write from your gut. And the first question I'm going to ask is, what more specifically were you struggling with? What was the core issue of the struggle? Okay, 30 more seconds. All right. Next, describe the turning point of the incident. Start, go ahead with that. about 20 more seconds. Okay, next question. How did you resolve the turning point? How did you start to turn it around? What was the resolution? No, like turning point of the incident. So what was the resolution to that turning point? How did you take back your power? That's a really good way to put it. How did you take back your power? Go ahead. About 30 more seconds. Okay. So, where are you today with what happened? What are the results for you now? How has it changed you? How far have you come since this issue, since this incident? Where have you landed? Go ahead. About 10 more seconds. Okay. And finally, the last question. How do you help people today that have been through the same struggle? All right, now you're going to talk about what it is that you have to offer and how what you've been through translates into that. How do you help people today who have that same struggle? Go ahead. About 10 more seconds. All righty then. So that was a lot of very intense, a lot of writing. How are you doing out there? How are you doing, Caddy and Miriam?
Good.
Good?
Yes.
So let's see, how do I want to go about this? I'm just curious to know, you're going to need to, obviously, this is something you're going to, this is the vomit draft, right? But I'm curious to know what the story that you landed on is about, what the moral is for each of you. Curious to see what you got. Just shout out whenever you're ready. There's only a few of them.
Well, I chose a story about, I chose the experience when I was in graduate school. I failed my pre-thesis production. And what I learned through that experience and the subsequent using the scene work in my following directing class sort of as a do-over, and I learned about I learned more viscerally the need for specificity in vision and in vision when you're directing a play, and the difference between giving actors freedom and freedom without boundaries and versus freedom within the vision. And it was interesting to write about that experience.
Uh-huh.
And recall it. But when you got to the question of how do I help others through this same struggle?
Yeah.
I don't help others through that same struggle because I learned how to be a director, which I don't teach people directing. And that's not my goal. It made me a better director, but it didn't. I guess in a sense, if my audience is actors, I learned how to give actors boundaries within which they can be free.
Exactly.
That's how that happens. I have to write that down. Now that I basically, when I started talking, I thought my answer was going to be nothing. But now I have an answer, so I have to write it down.
Go write it down. So, do either of you hear that echo, or is it just me?
I do not hear it.
Okay, that's good. What about you, Caddy? Caddy? Do you hear the echo, Caddy? I hope Caddy's still with us. Anyway, but exactly, and I think it's good you talked it through, Miriam. That's why I'm asking, because you made the connection in the moment, just verbalizing it. That's exactly that's exactly how you translate that struggle in terms of what you know a theater artist needs, whether they're an actor or a director or whatever role they're playing in the theater. They need freedom within certain constraints and certain vision, right?
Yeah.
So great. Terrific. And Caddy, I'm wondering, Caddy's muted. Why is she muted? Caddy, you need to know what's going on. Just tell me what's going on. If you don't want to share right now, Caddy, then we'll move on. I just got a text. Is that from her? Nope. All right, well, Caddy, I guess, is indisposed, so let's just keep going. I think we just did a lot of reading, a lot of writing. I want to just continue on to the soapbox story. We just did a struggle story. I want to continue on to a soapbox story, but I'm going to wait. I don't know where Caddy is, and I want to make sure that we get the most out of it. Oh, I got a text. Can you hear me? No. No, I can't hear you, Caddy. I would have made like I did if I could. Let me see if I can. Yeah, I don't know. So while she's figuring that out, hello? Caddy? Let's just continue with the material for the moment. Then we're going to do a soapbox story. Anyway, so, and I moved around a little. So where? Where am I on this handout? Sorry, it's a little, we're so human today. Okay. Where you started? All right. Soapboxer struggle. All right. So what is the I've talked about the elements of the story. And once you've done your story, once you've done your soapbox or your struggle story, are you there, Caddy?
Yes, I'm back on the phone.
Okay. Once you've done that, then you introduce the topic. That your signature story is your segue into the topic of the day and why you chose that topic, right? You basically referenced why you've chosen that topic by the signature story. You can make it crystal clear and let them know exactly what you're going to cover, X, Y, and Z, right? Next, you're going to position your audience. Take a couple minutes to do that. And while you're positioning your audience, is just sort of take a, you know, find out, get people to understand why you are relevant to them, okay? So, for instance, if you're talking about weight loss, and if you're a health coach, you could ask, you could say, for instance, this talk is for you if you struggle with the same 15 pounds for the last 2 years. You can ask, are you tired of diets and weight loss gains? Right. This talk is for you if you know your parents don't have the best of health and you want to prevent yourself from future disease, right? This talk is for you if you need to prepare an audition and have absolutely no way to go about it, right? So you position your audience. Next, you're going to set your intention. And in other words, you're going to let them know that you're going to give them as much as you can, right? But you're also going to give them a chance. Now you're going to be planting seeds. You're going to give them a chance to speak further with you at the end. So you're setting them up. You're reassuring them to let them know that they're going to have more access to you for their particular circumstances. And so you're setting them up for the sales conversation, essentially. You're setting them up for the offer, right? I'm going to give you everything I possibly can in the next 50 minutes, but I won't be able to fit it all in. Don't worry, though, because at the end I'll share a resource that will support you to move forward and not leave you hanging. And, of course, the resource is you, okay? So then we get into the body of the talk or the content points, all right? Now, to me, like I said, the signature story is the most important element of the talk because it is the launching pad for everything you present, and it's what humanizes and connects you to them. So I want to now go back and work on a soapbox story. Is everybody over there writer's cramp? Are you guys up for that?
Yep.
Yeah, how about you, Caddy? You ready for that? Okay.
Yes.
And then maybe, yeah, okay, terrific. So soapbox story. First, we're going to prep. We're going to get ourselves oriented for this here soapbox story. And I'm going back to my timer. Clearing it. Good. So you're taking a stand for something. The first question is, let me see, you need to have a topic, first of all, and I want you to get that. Talk about something that you're really passionate about or something that makes you really angry or sad, okay? Something that makes you, that you're very passionate about or that really pisses you off, okay? And I'm going to give you a couple minutes for that starting now. And, of course, it should be with regard to what you're selling. You may have a beef about how other people do what you do. Okay? In 30 seconds. Okay, good. So, having gotten in touch with that, write a little bit about what you're taking a stand for with regard to this particular issue. What is your stand? And what stand are you taking by doing what you do as your livelihood? Go. Another 15 seconds for this one. Okay, good. So we're going to structure this a little bit, but first I want to know, no, actually, before we get into that, think about a client, a friend, a family member, another situation that you witnessed or were part of, something that you went through that really triggered this stand for you. That is the reason you so firmly ascribe to how you do what you do. Okay? Go ahead.
Can you expand that question a little?
Well, for instance, is your what is it the thing that what is the thing you're taking a stand for? No, that, I'm asking you, Kathy. What is the
right?
Thing
yeah, I'm trying to verbalize it simply. That you're an individual and you can live in a different lifestyle.
It's, okay. So think of them. So then, that's the stand you're taking for people, and so you can live a lifestyle unique to you that works. Okay. So then, what you want to do now is think of a cautionary tale of someone who didn't believe that, for instance, or a time in your life where perhaps you didn't believe it, and you know, maybe a situation you witnessed or were part of that really made you realize that this stand you have taken is true. Does that make sense?
Yes, got it. Thank you.
Okay, go for it. About 10 more seconds. Okay, now we're going to structure this a little bit more, okay? So the first question I would ask is, and you've probably already started doing this, if you, okay, just describe the story, some key elements of the story that illustrate your stand, okay? Describe the key elements of the story that illustrate your stand. Okay. For instance, what the particular person was going through, you know, in terms of the last question I just asked. All right? Go ahead. Not 30 more seconds on this. Okay, now as clearly as you can for now, state your stand or opinion and how it came to be, the conclusion you draw that landed you in this stand or to hold this opinion. Okay, just clearly state what it is and how it came about as a result of what you've been writing. Let's take about 15 more seconds to scribble about that. Okay. Now talk about why you want others to learn about your stand. Go. About 30 more seconds, a little less. And lastly, describe how you help people now to create the situation or the product or the performance that they want. Describe how you help others today from this stand that you've taken.
circles.
About 30 more seconds. Okay, terrific. So now you both should have the bare bones of a couple of different types of different stories. I mean, it could have been, you could actually frame one story in either way, I suppose, but I'm imagining you have two stories now. And I guess, Kathy, while we can, tell me how this went for you. Tell me how your soapbox story went. Give me a sense of what, tell me what your stand is and how you help other people.
Yes. This was an exceptional exercise.
It was a what?
An exceptional exercise. It really pared it down to that elevator pitch style, right? So it's about helping people recognize that there's a different path that they can choose to live where their world is more efficient for themselves. And I walk side by side with you with a lot of compassion and tools to train you and teach you how to make these decisions for yourself in the future. And it's about feeling good and feeling pride in yourself and your space, and it makes everything so much easier. And letting people realize.
And what was the incident that led you to take a stand for helping people in this way?
Until I did my home office in North Carolina, mm-hmm. which was a quarter-style room I just had a desk in.
Yeah.
And I set it up to be efficiently an office, a music room, and an art space. I had no idea until I actually did it how much panic, anxiety, and stress that room had me in. Mm-hmm. And then it was just gone. And it was
wow.
so, it was such a big heart explosion of love. A, I'd done it myself, and B, I loved being in that room after that.
So then it sounds like you are taking a stand for people coming out from under the stress and overwhelm that they feel caused by their environment. And
right.
showing them how different life can be. That you're a stand for walking people through out of that and into a new space. It sounds like
yes, with a lot of love.
Because you experienced it yourself, and I suppose you may. And when you say with a lot of love, it makes me think there are more elements to the story where maybe at a certain point you did not experience so much love in. Either having someone help you go about this or in trying to go about it yourself. Because you emphasize the love over and over and over. So there's something there, okay? That probably has something to do with the story.
I'm going to write it down, but it was my mother and the shame of not being able to keep a perfect house the way she did. Perfect.
Gorgeous. I love it. Yeah, man. And you're a stand against shame. You're taking a stand against the shame people feel around feeling at a loss, feeling out of control.
Mm-hmm.
So, terrific. All right. So, I think we got these stories. We have this, there's a lot more here. And so I'm going to assign some homework, ladies, and gentlemen, and anyone who's listening to this later. I want you to go through the rest of this handout, okay? Study it and bring your questions next week, because next week is Q&A, all right? So what we were just getting into content, the body of your talk, right? There are a couple different approaches to that, all right? There's one, you'll see, and then there's an option two, which is very simple outline of problem, solution, evidence, problem, solution, evidence. And then part three is the offer, okay? Transitioning out of the content into the offer and saying, remember how I mentioned I would tell you how you could work with me further? I'd like to tell you about that now. Okay. That's when, and read the information here about that. Okay. Now, educate them a little bit about why it makes sense to take advantage of this. For instance, if you're a health coach, 80% of people who've lost weight kept it off with the help of a program. Or with the help of someone, you know. And then you introduce, if it's a free session, you let them know that, and let them know that it's special, that ordinarily it's not free, for instance, okay? And the benefits they're going to walk away with, what the format of it is going to be, for instance, okay? And the call to action is that they go sign up. I'm just skimming through the rest of this. They go and they sign up, and that's it. If you're offering a free session, that's the end of it. except for limiters. I would say, you create a limiter. Like on Sunday, I said, you know what? If you sign up for the club today, I will deduct the cost of the event from your tuition. But you have to sign up today, right? That's a limiter, right? Create an urgency for them. Give them a reason to take action. Maybe you cap the number, like you're saying, this is only open to the first five people. You know, these are just examples. I would recommend that. You might give them a time limitation. It's only good till Friday. Maybe I only have room for 20 people in my calendar. Or incentives. If you do this today, you'll get a special ticket or to something, or you'll get a free gift. Okay? Like that. All right, now if you're trying to sell from the stage, steps 10 through 13 are about that, okay? So if you're trying to sell a service or a product from the stage, there's information here about how to go about it. So that's the first part of the homework. And the second part of the homework is to go out and find or create your first or next speaking event. Now it's time to just jump in the pool and swim a little and make a mess. Just go out and do it. The first time I did this, I just invited six people to my apartment. Right? Remember that, Caddy? You were there.
I was just going to say that was so much fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, wasn't it? So you can create an event. I mean, Miriam, maybe you can do it at WOW. Right? You can, Caddy, often libraries offer special workshops. You can call and see and get an opening on a calendar there. You know, they want to have things to offer to the public. Right? So, if within the next month, I think it would be really great to just get up and do it and get your feet wet. Any questions, reactions, thoughts? Before we sign off today.
I'm very excited.
So good. Good. It should be. It is exciting. How are you doing, Miriam?
I'm okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Good.
Think about.
Yeah. All right. So next week, I expect that you'll have some questions, and that's good, because that's what next week's going to be all about. You know, follow up with whatever has come up for you. Go ahead and refine these two stories, you know, rework them. And I suggest when you practice the story, don't try to do it word for word, but break it down to, say, 4 bullet points, right? So it's an outline of the story. You can write it out and then read it out loud if you like, but this is another way to go about it. Mm-hmm. And if you feel like it, I will invite you to read it to us next week. I'd love to hear it. If you have a story, a signature story you want to present. So thanks for showing up. I had a good time. I hope you did. And I will see you next week, same time, same place.
Thank you. Have a great day. It was wonderful.
Thanks a lot, Gretchen. See you next week.
See you next week. Bye-bye.